Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with This Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So where were you all week, yesterday, the day before, all week? Well, we have had some kind of week this week here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started with Shaking the Monday Morning Blues on a Monday. Yes, we had relationship woes with our Due Time crew, and we had, you know, that conversation that came up between the fiance and his lovely girl, the two fiancés, let's just put it like that, the partnership. And one of the things that they were complaining about was the fact that she has an autistic brother, and she loves him to death, and he happens to love him too. She wants to take him permanently. Yes, she wants to take him permanently, and she wants to, you know, get married and have him as a permanent part of the house and relationship and all that kind of good stuff. And he says, I'm not quite feeling that. You know, I love your brother and the whole nine yards, but what kind of relationship are we going to have? Yep, good question. Good question, because the Due Time crew shared that feeling. You know, you're just getting started. And how are we going to make this work if we have our own children? Yes, you know, sometimes in all of our noble deeds and noble feelings and noble wants, we really can't infuse a lot of things, you know, in the relationship. It's wonderful that the sister wants to take her brother, but hey, what happens to the husband? Oh, you can't put, see, we didn't got that out of order. As always, you can't put that relationship between you and your brother, especially if he's not in an, you know, in an unsafe environment. You know, we never heard that in the story. Well, if her parents can continue to take care of her brother, then what she needs to do is she needs to go ahead and she needs to, you know, help. They'll help. But definitely taking him in is not the thing to do before you get your relationship off the ground. Because need I remind you that The priority is your relationship between you and God. That's the first important relationship. The second relationship is, that's right, the relationship between you and your spouse. Yes, so we got to make sure we keep things in priority order, okay, the proper priority order. That's what I really want to say, okay? Well, we also had that wonderful story of the wife and the husband, and they've been married for 35 whole years. And she got an inheritance. And you know what? The inheritance was $800,000. And out of the $800,000, she took $300,000 and she finished off the payment for the home. And then she took the other $500,000 and put it in her bank account. Now, what kind of partnership is this? What kind of partnership is this? No, you don't take your money and put it in your bank account. You know, he had $80,000 of debt, and she only had $2,800. Yes, so needless to say, that $80,000 would probably cross over into the home's debt, and you know, well, what are you doing? How are you sitting there taking $500,000 and putting it into your account? How does that work? How does that go from we for 35 years into my 500K, a half a million? You mean to tell me you couldn't share a half a million with your spouse? Man, talk about relationship woes. Okay, well, that's how we did on Monday with our relationship woes. Well, we couldn't end the Monday properly without our switch tip. Realize who you are. You know, a lot of times, you know what? Here's the thing. I love the relationship tip because it always seems to cross over into our conversation regarding relationships. And Shantis has no idea what we're going to talk about because I don't know what we're going to talk about. I only got a silent list in my lap. And she always somehow nails what we're talking about. Well, we're talking about realize who you are. We just got finished talking about two relationship woes. Well, remember now, you're a spouse. You're a husband. You have a relationship. You got to remember those relationships because remember now, the reason why these are relationship woes, at least the two that I just got finished talking about, is because you forgot that you were a husband. You forgot that you were a wife. You forgot that, you know, hey, we're in this relationship together and your brother does not take precedent over me. Yes. So see, that's forgetting who you are. But, you know, she was primarily talking about forgetting who you are as a person, child of the King. Yes. Of knowing who you are as God's property. You know, a lot of times we always, you know, we get off track. We lose our way. We forget that we belong to God, and we forget that we have a priority to be who God has called us to be. Remember a royal priesthood? Yeah, remember that? Yes, His peculiar people, a holy nation. Yes, and once we have been tagged and flagged as these people, we got to move differently. We got to move differently, okay? So we got to remember whose we are. You know, Pastor Kim always talks about that. She always talks about remembering who we are and remembering whose we are. And that's so important, okay? So let's just make sure we get that priority together, okay? Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday, where we got our conversation on with our, yeah, see, you remember, with our Pastor Charlene and our, right, our Minister AJ. You know what day it was. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Yes, our talk. Let's talk about it Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we talked about the signs you are drifting from God. Well, pride. How about that pride? Oh, that pride. It says pride will come and then destruction will come next. So listen, if you got a pride issue, I think you need to get that together. Yes. Yeah, God don't like that egotistical, arrogant behavior you may have going on. Nope, that don't fly with him. No. Okay, what about the signs that show you're not, you know, you're drifting away from God when you don't go to church? You know, some people, we have really gotten to a point where people really don't think we have to go to church. That has not come up off the table. Nothing about that has ever changed. God told us to go to church, and that's what we need to do, okay? So those are two signs that we are drifting away from God. Well, wow, Wednesday came on up, and we had our girlfriend Viv, and she talked about the mom who lied on her child and said the child was sick to collect money. Now, $4,000 is not a lot of money, especially if you're going to put out a lie. You want to put out a lie that's going to bring you some bucks. Well, we're not encouraging you to lie, but we definitely say if you're going to lie, then do it right. There ain't no way in the world you should put your child out there for a measly $4,000. Two sneezes, and guess what happens? That $4,000 is gone. Yes, that's not, and it's not going to be worth what you're even, you know, lying about. Okay. Well, we had our women of worship, and the conversation was about ways Christian women should live intentionally. And one of the things we talked about was intentionally walking in the Spirit. Well, I don't want to talk about more of walking in the Spirit before I want to talk about walking in the flesh. Yes. You know, what are those fleshly things that women do, that women are walking in? Huh? Okay. You know, that's something to think about, though. Something to think about. What do we do? We should intentionally walk in the flesh, and we should intentionally pray. Yes, we should be intentional in our prayer time. So you got to make sure that you get on your hands and knees each day when you first get that day started and give God thanks. Oh, I promise you, your day will go along much, much, much better. Okay? Come on now. Come on now. You know how it goes down. Well, that's if you pray. Then you have something to compare it to. Because if you don't pray, then you have nothing to compare it to. And you won't know how priceless, you know, prayer is. Yeah, prayer is really, really, really something that's going to set your day off the way you need it set off. Okay? All right. So, we moved on down. We got our Faith Over Fear segment. Yeah, and why, you know, women don't do what they need to do. What's the fear about? Why are we fearful when it comes to that? Why? Well, Pastor Charlene has had a wonderful, wonderful segment on her way back this week. We missed her last week, but we got our Faith Over Fear on this week. All right. Well, we moved down to Therapeutic Thursday. Yes. And guess what? The bratty kids came up. Yes. And in this case, we've got our bratty kids and the bratty parents when we talked about the promposal. Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. If I were black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you. Prom. Yes, well, I do time crew had a ball with that one yesterday as they addressed the sensitivity and the, you know, insensitivity of that, you know, promposal. How are you talking to people like this? Well, you know, like I always say, they're on the other side of the tracks, and they can have that conversation there. But they sure enough couldn't have that conversation in our neighborhood, because then we'd be reading a different outcome and ending of that news story, right? Mm. Well, they talked about the bratty kids yesterday, and the young man who was who's 18 who asked about his $1,400 stimulus check. Well, it's mine. They sent it for me, and I want it. Well, I sure understood when the Due Time crew talked about that one and how they would address that. Well, they were in their raw form yesterday. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were hilarious yesterday, especially when we got our biblical take on these stories. Yes. Listen, the news will keep you running all day long. Okay, so today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever we want to do. Well, we only do one thing here. We don't do much, but listen to the men. So we do a whole lot of that, okay? So we talk about doing what we want to do. Well, we talk about whatever we want to talk about here. We can deviate. We can, you know, laugh all, you know, morning, or we can really take it to the Bible, to the Word. Well, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I do know that for the past few weeks that they have been sending us off with a bang. Yep. And today I do not anticipate it's going to be any different. So let me make sure I give you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. If you want to chat with us, oh, I invite you to do so. We love talking to ourselves, amongst ourselves, but we love to include you in the conversation. So please, let's make sure we don't miss anything, any opportunity to talk. If you don't want to talk and you want Shantice to relay what you got to say, all right, all right, all right, I can live with that too. 347-285-7777. Again, that number is 347-285-7777. All right? So we're about to get our break on before we head into our news. And go get that healthy breakfast. Remember, 2 cans of sardines. Are you down to 1 can because you've eaten 1 can already? Or have you eaten both cans already? Remember how essential those 2 cans of sardines are regarding our diabetes. Yes, yes, 2 cans of sardines, our diabetes. It will either help to prevent our any diabetes onset, or it helps to get rid of. Yes, come on now, that's worth eating. I don't want to hear nothing about you don't like no fish. Ah, make just close your eyes and chew. Yeah, yeah, close your eyes and chew and just make sure it's a steak dinner or something. I don't know. But listen, if it helps with the diabetes, you want to make sure you get that in, okay? And make sure you tell a friend. We need those numbers up again. Yes, our numbers are up, but, you know, they can always use that peak. Make sure you tell people about us, okay? All right, well, you have got to make sure you don't give up your seat, because we'll be right back before you know it.
Are you a woman experiencing chronic widespread muscle pain, soreness, stiffness, and fatigue? If so, you may have fibromyalgia. Hi, I'm Dr. Dennis Locks. I practice in the Tampa Bay area. Studies show that 80 to 90% of those diagnosed with fibromyalgia are women. It only takes a few seconds to make an appointment with your doctor to learn more about fibromyalgia. A few seconds that could bring you one step closer to relief.
Brought to you by Pfizer, working together for a healthier world.
Good morning and good morning to you again. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and I want to welcome you to Freestyle Friday, where we let the men have their say. And they've been knocking us into the weekend for the past month, and we have been so enjoying them, and we want to make sure that we, you know, we're situated so we can hear what they've got to say. But before we get started with our news, I want to make sure we go through this pomegranate benefit. Yes, we had 12 of them yesterday. So I want to remind you all that it's loaded with antioxidants. Pomegranate juice is full of vitamins. It promotes good heart health. It lowers blood pressure. It can improve your memory. And what else do we have here? It can aid your reproductive health. It can help manage diabetes. It can help keep your skin healthy. It might even prevent cancer. It promotes bone health. It relieves arthritis, or at least it can. And it can enhance physical activity. So you want to drink that pomegranate juice first thing in the morning so you can, you know, definitely get your activity level going in the hardest format possible, okay? So today's news we're up to. Well, we're going to start off on a good note here. Since we were talking about juice, let me talk to you about tart cherry juice. Tart cherry juice. Now, it doesn't sound that appealing just because it says it's tart. Well, it has definitely will give you some good components. It helps you sleep better, and a few more reasons why you should be drinking tart cherry juice, okay? Well, we know that tart cherry juice is tart, and it has, you know, for those of you who have ever drank red wine, you know, in your former life, that is, in your former life, it has a taste. That's where that tartness comes from. Yes, when, you know, they use tart fruit and grapes and things like that to make, you know, the our wine. And they say it's also used in cherry pie. And I know a lot of people don't like cherry pie because it's not like apple pie or sweet potato pie. That's very sugary. And that's what we look for in our pies. But this tart cherry juice, it may help you sleep better after you drink it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, some professional athletes say, yeah, we experienced better sleep after we drank the tart cherry juice. That seems like to be a tongue twister. And you know they need to get as much sleep as possible so they can make sure. I mean, Stephen Curry must be drinking a whole lot of tart juice. Because the way he's throwing down these three-pointers from way across, they need to, you know, increase three-pointers when you're doing that from across the court. Yeah. Well, you can't be tired doing that. I'll tell you one thing. Okay? And They say you can really get a regular sleep on. Yes, not that insomnia that, you know, a lot of people experience. But when you start drinking this on a regular basis, you know, they're saying that, hey, you may be able to get into some nice sleep patterns, okay? It says it has a significant amount of melatonin, and that will, you know melatonin helps with your sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's definitely one of the benefits of tart cherry juice. I can't get this together off my tongue. And we're talking about, again, as in yesterday, just an 8-ounce serving. Yes, so it's not even that bad. Before you turn it up to, you know, before you finish turning it up, it's already done. And they say you need to drink this like 2 hours before bedtime. Okay? And studies have shown that the participants who drank the juice twice each day for a week had a much, much better stabilizing of their glucose levels. Yep, as it contains a lot of fiber and protein as well. Okay, well, it also, we just got finished talking about fibromyalgia, and man, I tell you, fibromyalgia is no joke. I suffer with it personally. Well, this is Fibromyalgia Awareness Month, and just so happens we're talking about tart cherry juice. Well, it says it can prevent some joint pain relief. You know, it can bring on some joint pain relief. They say, yeah, if your joints hurt, make sure you grab that tart cherry juice. Yeah. It will definitely give you some relief. They say people who suffer from joint pain, osteoarthritis, or gout may find particular benefits from tart cherries. The use of tart cherries for gout and arthritis relief is, you know, something, a remedy that dates back many centuries. And a lot of pain sufferers have, you know, said that drinking that tart cherry juice has lessened the acute pain in the body. Okay, and that's, they took a study of 12 people who suffer from arthritis and gout, and they said not only did the joint pain come down, but it lowered the blood levels. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and increased uric acid in the blood is what has been found to lead to very painful episodes of a gout attack. If you drink this, yes, this is 2 cups of fresh cherries. That's tart cherries, remember, tart cherries, not just any cherries, will definitely help you get that together. Okay? Well, tart cherry juice can lower your blood pressure. We are really getting into this pressure thing here. Okay? They say that the doctors often use a blood test measuring the C-reactive protein to see the development of high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease in patients. Well, they found that tart cherry juice, because of its fiber content, helps to bring down that CRP. Yep, that C-reactive protein. So listen. Sounds like that cherry juice is definitely a beneficial, okay? And they also have here that tart cherries are an after-exercise all-star. So we talked about the pomegranate juice before exercising, and now we're talking about post-exercising, okay? And it says that tart cherry juice had an effect on exercise and muscle recovery, and that's what they did. That's what they found when they did this study. Okay, it also helps to prevent the soreness you get after that intense exercise. So for those of us, you know, now that it's, you know, the summertime and the weather is shifting, you may want to go out for a little more walking or going, you know, doing a little more exercise. And, well, you want to get that tart cherry juice to help decrease that effect of the muscle pains. You know, I feel that's why a lot of us don't exercise, because we just don't want to be in pain afterwards. I don't blame you. So, again, let's run this quick list of the benefits of tart cherry juice. You want to make sure you put that tart in there, okay? They say it will help you sleep better after drinking, you know, your tart juice. It helps with your joint pains, okay? Number three, it can help lower your blood pressure. And number four, it can help post-exercise. Okay? All righty. Well, you can't say, Pastor Steph, didn't I give you what you need in health, even at the tail end of the week? Okay? Well, we have come down to our real story of the morning. That was just some informational stuff. Woo! Excuse me. So, we have a rape suspect who made a mistake, a big mistake, and messaged an 11-year-old father instead of her. Okay? So, a Florida gentleman, if you want to call him, 25 years old, Keith Williams, yeah, I'm shouting him out, he posted a $60,000 bond and was released from custody on Sunday after it was found. Yeah, I'm talking real slow on this one because I read that this morning, my eyes almost came out of my head. He had been communicating with his 11-year-old victim's father, okay? And now he's facing first-degree rape, electronic solicitation of a child, and traveling to meet a child for an unlawful sex act, okay? So, I got to tell you this from the beginning, because this is up for discussion, and I can hear Pastor KL right now. Okay, so, excuse me, the father has three children, and one of the children is 11 years old. He sets up a Facebook page for these kids. Okay, so I already had a headache. Once I saw that, I had a headache, okay? He sets up this Facebook page for each of them, and he calls himself monitoring the Facebook page. Okay, so he sets up the Facebook page, and he's going through the profile pictures and all of the things. And one day he decides to go through this here, and he stumbles in on, well, I don't want to say he stumbles in on, but this Mr. Williams, he sends a friend request to the account of the 11-year-old, okay, and the father is pretending he's the 11-year-old, so he writes back, "Do I know you?" And he says, it says that the guy responded with his screen name from a dating app called Badoo or Badoo, whichever one you want to, however you want to say it. Okay, so the father continued the conversation, and it says that the guy says, "I remembered your name and face, especially when we met for the first time, so I found you on here." Okay? And he continues to go on and describes what the kid was wearing the night they met and said he remembered the swings in the backyard. Okay? All right. He then tells who he thinks is the 11-year-old. Now, he's 25. He tells the 11-year-old, I'm going to definitely marry you in the future, LOL. So they keep going. So the mother, he tells the mother, the father tells the mother, and the mother gets out of the girl that she had a picture. So she shows the picture and tells the mother that the guy has come to the house and they have engaged in sexual intercourse in the backyard. Well, I guess there was no, you know, stuff growing in the backyard. Well, maybe there was. So everybody was high. I don't know. So they give this information to the police. Well, during the conversation with the Child Advocacy Center, the young girl says she began chatting with this guy after she met him on a dating app called the Badoo. Okay, or Badu. Let's say it like that. I hate the Badu. Sounds like I'm saying a bidet. The juvenile said that he came to her house during the month of October and had sex with her in the backyard. So she tells them the same thing. And now they have to face this. Okay? Like I said, he's already been charged with rape, traveling to meet a young child, and an unlawful sex with the child. Now, I see several problems here. I see several. And it didn't start with this guy here. No. My question is, what happened to the rule where you couldn't, when Facebook, excuse me, the earlier years of Facebook, it was only for adults. You had to be 18 years old. And if this father was able to set up a Facebook page, then and he didn't hide anything. He set them up, I guess, with some parental controls going on, and all three of his children had Facebook accounts. Well, my question is, well, what was going on in your head? Why do I feel my child, 11 years old, and I don't know how old the other two are, but let's just talk about the one 11-year-old. Why are we setting up Facebook accounts, and now you're going to be upset that she has access to this bad dude online app? And listen, let me say something to you. A couple weeks ago, my granddaughter, who is 6 years old, came to me and said something about, ma'am, I have a Facebook page. I said, no, you don't. She said, yeah, I do. I said, no, ma'am, you don't have no Facebook page. You couldn't even set up a Facebook page. You're only 6 years old. And we went back and forth. And I said, well, then show me what you're talking about. Oh, my gosh. I hit the ceiling. I was like, how did you do this? She did it on her own. Six. I said, no, you taking that down right now. Take it off. So they are, here's the thing. Clearly, there were no parental controls set up that would even allow her to set up the Facebook page. And now we have the father who's intentionally setting up the Facebook page. So clearly, in other words, you know, I remember not that long ago, you know, I have the YouTube page. They have gotten so strict on, you know, when you post, because they're asking you, is this content for children? But yeah, I had to jump through like several hoops, and I've had this from like 2016. But because of all of the stuff going on with the children, you now have to do all kinds of things now to keep them from being able to see. And I'm like, this kid was able to set up a profile in that dating app. And I'm like, yo, what is this? And now this guy has been not only to the house, but just kill me. Why don't you? He's 25 years old and had sex with his 11-year-old kid. It just, my I just can't take it today. I got such a headache. And like I said, I keep news stories, certain news stories, but a lot of times I don't read them in advance. You know, I wait till it's time for me to, you know, I choose to use them. And oh man, oh man, oh man. Where are my gentlemen? See, this is why I wanted to bring it up today, because this is a doing of the Father. So I want to hear what our dads have got to say. So, we're going to get it now. Okay, so let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
I had a feeling we wasn't going to get that good. Nah. Pastor KL. First of all, before we get there, let's talk about the tart cherry juice. You know, we got to start off on a lighter note. That was kind of heavy. So what do you think about this tart cherry juice? Are you going to try it?
No, I'm not going to try it. I'm gonna buy a few cherries, leave it out too long, and then I'll eat them. But I'm not going to try those tart cherry juice.
You know what? You're going to get the same effect, so I'm all right with that.
I'll eat the cherry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, let's get to this conversation. Please help me understand. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, first of all, I don't know, as a father, why do you think your 11-year-old daughter needs a Facebook page? What kind of people, you know what I mean? How many friends does the 11-year-old have?
Okay.
Is she networking? What is she talking about? What you bringing for lunch tomorrow? Are we talking about, do you have, you know, the best Barbie doll? I mean, I'm just trying to understand why you think she needs a Facebook page. First of all. Second
right.
of all, for the pedophile, you know, what do you find attractive with an 11-year-old and pigtails? I mean, I'm just trying to understand that, you know, these girls mature a lot faster than they used to, but she's 11. 11. I mean, she's unlearned. She's 11. And then you have enough, for lack of a better word, balls to come to her house. Not only have you violated the child, you violated the whole family.
Right.
So you bad enough to come to the house. And then I guess you say, okay, we'll respect the house, so we'll just have sex in the backyard. So not only have you violated her, you've made her less than who she is, because now you sexed her in the cotton field. That's why they get the right signs about us. Because we stay in the cotton field. This becomes our normality. This has become a comfortable place for us to be. Now, you didn't swoop her away, you know, and try to make her feel like she was the best in the world.
Right.
You know, you already told her that you were going to marry her, but you didn't give her no bells and whistles. You put her in the yard. Right. Next to the sycamore tree. I'm just not understanding. And for the dad to be amazed that this might happen, you started this whole thing. Now, should you not be angry? Yeah, you should be angry. But first, you need to be angry with yourself. You need to partake in the first fruit. Because this was and then you sit on the phone or on the computer and pretend like you're the child. I wouldn't be having these wonderful conversations with him. I would be saying, hey, let's meet again. I enjoyed what we did. Can we meet again? That would be the conversation. I wouldn't be like, hi, Do we know each other? Obviously, we know each other. We know each other very, very well. So my question would be, when can we meet again? That would be the end of the conversation. No, I don't want to talk on the computer. I miss you, baby. Wait, no. Stop talking. Come over. Ain't nobody home. The tree is still in the backyard. They won't see us. That'll be my conversation. So I don't know what kind of dad this is. Seem like the dad needs to also go to jail. You know what I'm saying? For not protecting. Not being
right.
A provider.
Yeah.
You actually solicited your daughter. You pimped her out.
Yeah.
What could she possibly be talking about on Facebook at 11 years old? Nothing. She ain't praying for Tank. She ain't doing no Bible study. That's not what we doing. So, yeah. She can barely get her homework done. You going to give her more time? You know what I mean? She
Thank
won't
you.
Eat her peas and her carrots. She won't eat her
Thank
broccoli.
You.
So now, I just don't understand. You can't keep your room clean. But you got time to be on a computer? Yeah, that's why I got problems with these adults who's giving these children phones and giving these children laptops and all. No, you got too much time on your hands. Find something constructive. When we were young, we was outside until the light
playing.
Came on.
That's right, playing.
Playing. We wasn't PS4 or Xbox or Facebook or stuck to our phones. We had to work off this energy so that when our mama came in the house and told her to take a bath, the only thing you wanted to do after that was go to sleep.
Yep.
So.
I share every bit of your feeling. The first thing I said was when I first read the article and it said, you know, he set up. I'm like, what do you mean he set it up? Who does that?
Mm.
She's only, listen, we have already seen how adults can't handle Facebook. Why would I possibly set up, and clearly without any controls set up either? Clearly, so you didn't even do the job right. You didn't even do the job right because how was anybody? Well, first of all, let's go back. There are not that many 11-year-olds that even have a Facebook page to friend request her. So it would have to be an adult. It would have to be an adult. And, you know, it's funny, and then I'm going to go on to Brother Al. My sister, I remember a few years ago, my sister had a Facebook page. And I think she said it was about 10 years ago because she hasn't had it in about 10 years or so. And one of the things that she was a stickler for, Pastor KL, she would not accept the friends of Tamasia, or some of our younger cousins. And she said because she just didn't and my sister really wasn't on it, but she just felt that no, even though they were, you know, 18, you know, and 17, and they could they had a Facebook page, she was like, no, I'm not on their age level, so they ain't got no business seeing, you know, anything that adults do. I don't know, Pastor Kale. We're going to be talking about this for a minute. Thank you so much for our introduction. Do you see why I said make sure you log on early? Didn't want you to miss any part of this. Thank you so much. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop over Friday morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Brother Al. Well,
yes,
we're going to start off this conversation light today, and we're going to talk about that tart cherry juice. Do you have any intention on drinking any?
Yes, I do.
After
you know, I haven't heard. Yeah, because, you know, I'm into a lot of the health stuff, and I, you know, listening, I've heard some stuff about it, but you open the doors even more when I'm listening. I'm like, okay, all right, sounding good to me. So, yes, indeed.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'm glad we introduced you to something today, some information you didn't know. All right, Brother Al. What are we talking about here with this 25?
Now to make you mad.
11 years old and this father who initiated this whole thing. Well, what you got to say?
Well, you know, I've been working with kids for a long time, and I see all type of stuff. I do understand why he did the father. I understand why he did what he did. And a lot of people don't look at that. These kids set up the page regardless. Now, my thing was, if he was going to set up this page, he should have been monitoring it every day. Then, if you're saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to set this up and for her. And like, don't get me wrong, I agree, she shouldn't have it. They shouldn't have it. But these days here, these kids are doing it regardless. I've seen some stuff, and it's just crazy. Now, if he was going to do that, he should have been monitoring it every single day. You should have been looking at that page. Because I got kids, and their mother don't even know they got pages. They set up pages under different names, under nicknames. I see 9-year-old kids who got Facebook page. Now, one of my parents was like, you know what? I'm blocking all this on your computer at home, your phone, this and that. You know what he did? He went and he opened up a page and he uses his friend's phone to go check his page. So they set it up regardless. But if you're going to do that, then you should have monitored it every single day. You should have been monitoring that child's page.
Al, I got to ask you a question. Do you intentionally get up in the morning to irk my nerve? Do you really?
I'm telling you
do
what
you
it is.
Really get
people
up
don't want to face reality. This is the reality
say,
of it.
Do you really get up in the morning and say, you know what? I love Pastor Steph so much that she needs to drink the tart cherry juice. She needs to drink the cranberry. Pomegranate juice. Because I'm going to get on her nerves so badly. She's going to need all these things to lower her blood pressure. So here's
what
we're
going to do.
Get
on your nerves.
I think that's your thing. You didn't went into Tamika's backyard, and now you didn't got this whole ball rolling this morning. So here's what we're going
to
do.
Well, I had to cut the stuff. It was growing high.
Okay. No. Well, cutting the stuff is not the question. What did you do with the cut product? That's what I'm asking. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Pastor KL respond. I want to hear what he has to say. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to say a word this morning right now.
But that's
sorry,
cool,
kids,
because I'm going to give you the reality. I'm going to give you the reality.
Okay.
We sit there, talk.
I'm sorry.
This, I'm telling you what these kids do. This is what these children do.
Okay, wait. I got a question. Before you start, Pastor KL, I have a question. Do you believe that I don't know that these kids are going to, yes or no, that these kids are going to do it anyway? Do you really think that I'm just not knowledgeable of that?
No, I know you are.
Okay, all right. Because you just said you were giving me the reality. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Okay. So, Pastor KL, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that. Good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that one.
All right. Well, you know, I love my brother Al. You know, I think sometimes he rode that bus, though. You know, the bus that they gave the kids off. I think sometimes he was a participant. He rode the bus. Because I know you guys have heard me say long time ago that when my children at 17 and 18 wanted Facebook, the only way they could be on Facebook is if they friended me. I don't understand how you are the captain of this ship and you don't know what's going on the boat. I also said that there was a certain point in my children's life that at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, they had to bring their phone and put it on my dresser. So while I'm sleeping, you wasn't on the phone. You know, I mean, there are controls. I don't care how crafty your child is. Remember, everything they've done, we've already done.
Yeah.
Everything that they've done, we thought that we created it. So therefore, when did we get dumb? When did we get stupid? When we had children, we became stupid and thought that these things don't happen anymore. Children still run away. Children still lie. Children still manipulate. We did all those things. So how can we not see this stuff coming? And how can we not catch it off at the pass? I don't care how crafty you are. I know that your friend has a phone. I know that your friend has a computer. But listen, if you have a Facebook page, I should be able to see it. Because if you search Facebook, all I have to do is put your name in it. If I'm on Facebook, all I have to do is search her name. If I see your name and your Facebook page, we're going to have a problem in my house. Don't know about Johnny's house, because obviously Mama's okay with Johnny. But in my house, we're going to have a problem. There's too many ways for you to find stuff out and to say, well, they're going to do it anyway. Then they're going to live outside in the backyard with the boyfriend.
Okay, so wait, I have a question. Do you agree that the father should have set up the page anyway because the child was going to possibly set it up?
No. No. I want you to go behind my back and set it up. I want you to do that. The hell in me wants you to see how much smarter you are than I am. The hell in me.
Okay.
Because
okay,
if I say no and you try to do it anyway, we're going to have problems.
Okay. All right, thank you. I'm going to give Minister AG a chance to respond when he gets on. But, Brother Al, would you like to respond?
I mean, it sounded like I'm all for it, and that's not what I said. I agree totally. If he was gonna do it, we can't go back and change that he didn't do it. I think he shouldn't have done it. I understand why he was trying to do it, but he should have had monitored. Just like my Pastor Kale said, I agree with everything he said. You know, he should have been watching it constantly watching it, because again, now look what happened with your daughter now. You know what I'm saying? Now imagine if he didn't go on the page, how further it could have went. You know, but it was definitely, he should have been, there is ways to control it. You're letting a child outcraft you, like Pastor Kale said. I agree with everything he said. That's crazy. That's absolutely insane.
Okay. So do you still take the stand? See, we always get caught up, you and I, on these little one-liners you got. Here's the one-liner that I personally had a problem with. I understand why he did it. Don't respond. I'm just letting you know, because we're going to go to Minister AJ, and we're going to have this. We're going to continue to have this conversation. That's where I have the problem. I understand why he did it, and since he did it, he should have monitored it more. That's where I'm stuck personally. Okay, so we're going to come back. We're going to come back to you. Let's say good morning to. Did you want to say anything else before I go on to Minister AJ?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us this morning, Brother Al. You always keep this conversation jumping, my brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Hold on. Let's say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Fathers in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Why do we get that
now
this
that,
morning?
This ain't one of those conversations, AJ. This ain't one of those conversations. We're grace, mercy, all given peace this morning.
Listen. I was listening to this conversation. I was wishing it was Tuesday again.
Okay, so wait, before you get started, that tart cherry juice, are you going to be drinking any now?
Yes, man. I want to put my second can of sardines down for the week, and I'm going to get me some tart cherry juice.
All righty. Okay, so we have this. Before you respond to Brother Al directly, or that particular comment directly, because I'm asking this morning for a comment on that. But before you do it, let's hear your thought on this whole particular matter of the father starting it, of the pedophile, and of the little girl having access to this. What's your thought?
I think the whole thing is crazy. Starting a page is crazy. At 11 years old, you know, we should be steering them to do something else, put them in some sports, some dancing, something else. You know, neither one of my kids are 11 anymore, but when they were 11 and 12, I was basically teaching and continuously monitoring what they're doing. You have all types of controls on computers. And if
Excuse me, Minister AJ. Whoever's building a house in the backyard, can you please put your phone on mute? All right. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. That might be Brother Al going through the weeds in the backyard. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's okay. Yeah, when you're 11 and 12, that's the time that you're supposed to be teaching them what to stay away from. You know, because, you know, 14, 12, 13, that's when they're going to get, those are the experimental stages for me. And so at those ages, you should be telling them what to stay away from, not pushing them into something that could be dangerous for them. Because if you're a parent, more like you're working, so you are probably not going to have, you know, all the time you would like to monitor everything that they're doing. So why put them in that predicament? You know what I'm saying? It's too much going on the internet for you to start a page for an 11-year-old. You know? I guess he hasn't seen Dateline. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. to me, you're setting her up. That's my thing. I think you're setting her up for a fall.
All righty. Thank you so much.
And then,
go ahead. And then
how do they end up in the backyard? My question is, a neighbor didn't see them. You know, a priest didn't come by. Nobody from the church. Why are you home at 11 by yourself like that, where you can engage in sexual activity? So that means you wasn't mature enough to set that page up for her. If she can end up in the backyard having sex with a stranger, that means you yourself. Wasn't responsible enough to set that page up, because you cannot be monitoring this kid. My kid could not be home at 11 years old like that.
Some kind of thought. Because my question was, Minister AJ, well, where was the sisters and the brothers? Because there's three children. So I don't know where she falls. It doesn't say anything about where she falls in the line of the children. But my thing is, what was going on that... Not only that maybe she was home by herself, or the children were home and they didn't know what she was doing, or where were you and the mom? What time of day or night did this stuff go on that, you know, she had access to this backyard and could be missing so long that, because listen, and I'm going to be very frank here. Here's where my head goes. You are 11 years old. I would like to think that you're a virgin. How?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Where was mama after the intercourse took place? You don't notice that your child is not walking. I'm lost here, y'all. How is it that this, it couldn't have been a quickie, in other words. Like, we grown folk, let's talk. It couldn't have been a quickie. You ain't quickie in no 11-year-old, because that's going to be some painful if you're 25. It would be painful if you were 15. So my question is, where was the mother and the father after this thing took place? Because it didn't hurt at all afterwards. She was missing This is what I'm saying. She was missing long enough to be in the backyard. Then after all of this went on, you did not get hurt during this process? Okay, so before we go there, because
hold that question, because I want to finish this round.
Hold that question. Make sure you write it down. Whatever you do, don't forget it. Okay, so Brother Al says, hey, I don't agree with, you know, I wouldn't do it for mine, but I understand. And see, I'm personally, this is ringing in my ear. So I'm asking you, like I asked Pastor KL, are you in the boat that says, you know what, since they're going to do it, since they're going to use it anyway, and since they're so savvy and crafty in doing this, that they're behind our backs taking care of this business, you know, despite the fact that we would not agree, because that's why they go behind your back, then we should, you know, it's smart of him to set it up, and he should monitor it. That's the issue.
Nah, I totally don't agree with that, because to me, it's like you're condoning it. You're definitely condoning it, For me, absolutely not. You know, I had to have those talks with my kids and tell them right for wrong. Now, you can choose whatever you want to do, but at the end of the day, especially at 11, you're too young, you know what I'm saying, to have that, you know what I'm saying, that choice. You're not 18, you're not 19, you're not 20, you're not on your way out the house. So at 19, no. We're going to do it this way, and this is the way it's going to be done. You shouldn't even have a Facebook page at 11. You should be focused on books. You know, like you said, how many friends you got at 11? There's some people who are 40, 30 ain't have, don't have no friends. So at 11, listen, whatever you need to talk about, you talk about it in school, and that's it. Maybe a phone call, whatever you want to discuss, homework. But other than that, you shouldn't be on no social media. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. The kid,
well,
the mind itself is not mature enough. So now you got this kid be like, you know, done gave out your address. Now, you know what I'm saying? Not only is she could be raped, the family could be killed. These kids are not mature enough at 11 years old.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll officially say what I wanted to hear. I wanted to give the men an opportunity to respond. Because, see, there's just some liberal things we do that I just don't agree. As a mother, as a pastor, I do not, as an adult, I do not agree with. I would never, ever say I understand, if personally, I do not understand the theory of I'm going to do this because you're going to do it anyway, and you do have the ability to go into maybe Johnny's phone or Mary's phone and doing it, and she's doing it on the opposite side, you know, without my knowledge. My thing is, this is the prime example. This is exactly why you don't do it anyway. Now, whether if you did it on your own and it went left, that's one thing. But I'll be good and doggone if I'm going to set this up for it to go left. See, you would never be, none of these girls would ever be able to say, well, my did it, because you might as well go ahead and give them condoms, because they're going to do it anyway. Because did she have a condom? So maybe the parents should have set her up with condoms because she's going out every day and she's meeting up with people. See, that's when you open up all these kind of doors. And children, especially the children of these days, have proven you give them an inch or they taking a mile and a half. Forget about giving them an inch and taking a mile. They are going straight out. So here's the reason why you do not set this up. Because, see, now that the child has open up the door for the guy, because you better believe if he was in the backyard, he was in the house, because she said he was in the house. So you got the backyard, you got the house. What would have happened had one of those other children been endangered by this guy? All of this is the father's fault, in my opinion. Even if this could have happened in her doing, in Stephanie Griffin's eyes, I blame the father. Because I would never have set you up. I agree both with that's been said. Even Brother Al, you may have said it yourself. I don't think that this just goes to show her maturity level anyway. My thing is, here's what I have a problem with. I have seen firsthand parents buy these children these things at 2 years old. And I keep asking, if we're doing all of this when they're 2, 10, 11, what do we have to offer them when they get older? So already we have introduced them into a world of Facebook. We have on this particular broadcast said Facebook is trash for some people. You know, we handle it responsibly, but look at what happens out there with grown people. So setting you up for a Facebook page, and here's the thing. It also goes to show that he's too immature to make this decision himself. Because if he was mature enough, he would have definitely set it up so that nobody could get to her. But I go back to saying, well, who else is going to get to her? She don't have that many people. And there are not many parents when their children are 11 setting up Facebook pages. So pretty much she's open to the adult world. These kids are open to the adult world. That's why I flipped when I saw this one here. I'm like, what do you do? Take that down. So you're talking about going on somebody else's stuff. She went on her own device and did this Facebook page. How? Don't even ask me, because when I started it in 2009, I needed some assistance. So, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say I understand because they are going to do it anyway. The reality of it is I've raised three. Shantice is 36 this year. Oh, let me tell you something. Y'all hear right here on this line how she didn't cut around the corner on me. So I'm definitely aware. As a young mother, I'm aware. No, I'm sorry. You do not get that pass of I agree. Absolutely not. Nope. I don't care what you do on your own. You won't get it by my doing. Absolutely not. But Pastor KL, you had a question.
Yeah, I had a question. I have a question. First of all is, at some point, the child needs to go to school. You know, so you should be working while the child's at school. When did they have this opportunity? Where were you? You know,
right.
where were you? And then I guess to piggyback off of that is, what is it that she's lacking that she's gravitating to this kind of attention? You're obviously not giving her attention. You're not talking to her. At 11 years old, she didn't have an itch to have sex. She had an itch to talk
for
to
attention.
Somebody. For
mm-hmm.
some companionship. For
mm-hmm.
attention. That was
mm-hmm.
her itch. It just happened to be measured or to be met with sex because that was the only way she was going to get any kind of attention. But as a parent, you know, you just pushing her to Facebook because you don't want to talk to her? Why you can't be her friend? Why won't you friend her off the computer? Why won't you ask her about her day? Why won't you get her into activities? What is it that she was yearning for so much that she had to find a daddy figure in a 25-year-old?
And daddy set up the Facebook page.
Right.
I mean, I actually agree with you. Come on, Brother Al. What's your thought when it comes to the things that Pastor KL just got finished saying?
I mean, I kind of don't have no words, really. I mean, I said what I said. I listened to what everybody said. I agreed to it. And you would never understand unless you work with children. Like, I'm around them all the time.
I'm sorry.
No,
we
I'm going to say
that.
I'm
no.
telling you what I said.
No.
I work around
we
the kids. I work
stop.
Around the parents.
No.
And I hear
we
a lot of
that.
Things in
Mm-mm.
common. So that's
Mm-mm.
why I said, you know,
Mm-mm.
it wasn't that I agree
Mm-mm.
with the father. I don't agree with him at all. He dead wrong.
Mm-mm.
He dumb for doing that.
Mm-mm.
He is,
Mm-mm.
you know, but, you know.
Mm-mm. Okay,
but
Brother
you know,
Al, you're
you know
kind of stuck.
I go by what I
no, no,
go
no,
by
hold
what
on,
I work
hold on,
with
hold on,
what I
hold on,
see.
Pastor KL. Hold on, Brother Al. First of all, you're stuck because I wasn't talking about that anymore. I wasn't talking about that.
I know what you're talking about.
I asked you, would you, to respond to what Pastor KL said. We're not talking about that piece any longer. He brought up nine other questions that you could have responded to. Number two, before we go there, I'm sorry. There seems to be some misconception that if you don't work with kids, you don't know. So, and I'm going to keep it there for a minute. But
okay.
Pastor KL, I'll let you talk, and then I'll let Brother Al respond.
Hold on. Am I here? Am I on? Okay. This is what I would say. You know, because I know you say that you love the kids and you work around the children. You know, I don't necessarily work with children, but I got seven kids. If that ain't working with kids or loving the children, I don't understand what loving. See, when you have seven kids, you almost love the children more than taking the people off the bus because they're your children. When you have seven children, you have seven personalities and seven people trying to manipulate the parents. So you are closer in seeing what's going on when you have seven children in your household, you know. So those folks that's in your school, I respect all that. But when you have them in your house, you see it firsthand. You know, you don't hear about it. You see it. You know, Pastor Steph was talking about she got three girls and each one of them, she knew what was going on. When you got seven children, it's totally different from working with them in the school because they get to go home. And some things they might not do around you, but they'll manipulate their mama because they can. When they're at the house, they're going to try everything they can possibly try. They're going to try mama against daddy, daddy against mama. Or they're going to call grandmama because daddy beat them. When you got seven kids, you baby, I done seen it all. I've seen the runaways. I've seen, I'm putting them out. I've seen them. I got to go with you, you know, one of my children, one of my girls, to the abortion clinic because now we're terminated. Baby, you can't tell me about loving kids or seeing kids or dealing with manipulation. I've seen it all.
Okay. Thank you. Minister AJ, Pastor KL asked a series of questions. You know, when he said, I have a question, where was the child when she needed to talk and all of this kind of stuff? Well, how would you like to respond to those questions? Are those some of your own thoughts? Or do you have additional questions?
I think I have additional thoughts. Maybe my mind is going somewhere else this morning. But and I agree with him because I agree with Pastor Kale because those can definitely be a set of scenarios, and it makes sense. But for me right now, where my mind is going, it sounds almost like the father has been giving his child attention, but in the wrong way. And he set the page up to see how far she's going. Because why would you leave an 11-year-old daughter open to this, right? You said she's 11, and it didn't hurt. It sounded like this child was familiar with sex. If she came through there whistling like nothing happened, somebody was already touching this child. And the father set this page up to almost leave her open, maybe to even cover up his tracks.
Ooh.
You understand what I'm saying to you? You
wow.
know, my mind going somewhere else now. Cause as a father who has a daughter and who has worked with numerous youth, the last thing I want to know, and I'm a clown, I'm in the perfect field if I want to do something crazy. The kids follow me out the party. Sometimes they want a balloon by my car. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, and I've always said to myself as a father, someone who has worked with the youth departments in church, like, I see the opportunities of how these kids could be abducted and all that because these parents don't be watching. Oh, yeah, just follow Cuckoo out to the car and get a balloon. No, you need to come out here with your kids.
Right.
And the
last thing I would want
to know is that I don't even want to know that my 11-year-old is having sex. That's the last thought or vision I would want to have in my mind. So I would be on it, like, you know what I mean? And now you can set up cameras where you can watch what's going on in your house from your phone. So,
absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
So I'm telling
you can walk around with
it. It sounds like this father's in on this one. It sounds like he was already touching this 11-year-old. She sounds like she was already familiar with the sex because, like you said, an 11-year-old would be acting different. There's no blood on the clothes. There's nothing going on here. Maybe I missed it.
My brain didn't even go there. Wow.
Huh?
My brain didn't even go there, Minister AJ.
Yeah,
but this is why I wanted
I'm
to give it to
you,
the men this morning. Wow.
Yeah, no. I'm telling you, as a father who is the protector, you're not going to miss that. And like I always told my kids, you can come talk to me. But I ain't going to lie. When my daughter started talking, I wish she had to just shut up. So I had to be on it. Because I'm telling you, a lot of kids, they're going to tell you what it is, especially if you give them that open door. You know what I'm saying? So I do agree with Pastor KL, but my mind went somewhere else this morning. This 11-year-old, come on. And you're not acting different in no type of way? Come on.
Wow.
You got
wow,
teenagers
wow.
Come on, let's be real. You have teenagers who will have sex, young adults, and then they'll walk past the person the next day. You know, that same, did I sleep with you? So if you acting different in your teenage years and young adult, you're not going to act different at 11? Yeah, she was already familiar
wow.
with this. I'm sorry. I think so.
Wow. But Minister KL, what do you have to say about that one?
First of all, I'm Pastor KL. Get it together, okay? Get it together.
What did I say? What did I say?
You said Minister KL. Minister KL.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
But listen, I mean, that really ticked me to another level because that is another idea. That is another thought process. And now that you've said it that way, I can see it that way. You know, when he says, you know, there's no blood in the underwear, you know, you haven't acted any differently, maybe ministry began at home. You know what I mean? And then it went abroad. I mean, you know, maybe that's how it started. So yeah, that is a good way of looking at it. You know, sometimes we can be narrow-minded until somebody else brings another approach. And that is definitely another approach that could be well said. And then, you know, what did the mother say about it? You know, was the mother calm about it? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, when I know for me, you know, being a single parent, when my daughter had her first period, I lost it. You know what I mean? So how are you not losing it, you know, finding out all this information?
Because she was the one from the account. It says that as the father was talking and to the pedophile, the mother was the one who approached the daughter initially about, you know, what the guy had said. So it doesn't, you
right.
know, it doesn't give an account like, you know, what the mother thought, but it's a good question. It's a good question. Okay, we have a comment from our listeners. All right. I love when they get involved. Let's see. Good morning, Shantees.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can. What you got for us today?
Okay, so a listener just sent in, men look at certain ages around 6, and they start telling them, the parents start telling the children why they should or shouldn't do something, or they give an example as to why they shouldn't do it, but just saying no to the child just builds their curiosity, and it comes to a point where they start being sneaky, and for her to even have a secret dating page just shows that she had too much freedom, and she had to see the parents do it, or she was just able to be on the technology, you know, being able to be involved with technology too much, and it goes far beyond things that you can think of. Girls want to be grown at a young age.
All right. Well, good points, listener. Thank you so much. Thank you, Shantees.
Oh, wait, I have one more, I'm sorry.
Sure.
And one more. Okay, so another listener sent in, I think it's important for parents to learn how to use technology. He thought he was doing something by monitoring her Facebook, but she had a whole dating profile he knew nothing about.
Wow. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Good points, listeners. Thank you. Good points. I want to give the other gentleman a chance to respond to Minister AJ's thought process that says, hey, something else was already going on. What you got, Brother Al?
Yeah, I believe so. That's definitely a good point. I think with the father, he might have got caught up as trying to be more of a friend than a father. You know, trying to be one of them parents that, okay, I know what time it is. I'm down with it. You know, and I think he got caught up in the midst of doing that, not realizing the danger that he put his daughter in. Because like Pastor Kale said, you give him an inch, they taking two. You give him a rope, they want to be a cowgirl. You know what I'm saying? So I believe he got caught up in the, you know, I'm one of them down parents. I want to be cool with my child instead of showing that straight, strong authority figure. And, you know, what Ms. AJ said was right. You know, it could have been some stuff going on but way before that.
Hadn't thought of that myself. All righty. Woo. All right. So, you know, there was a comment that said, hey, you thought you were monitoring, but she was able to get down with a whole savvy enough to open up an entire dating app where she would even meet this person. And it goes back to, hey, how much time does your child actually have to spend on this device? So let's start educating these parents, you know, with giving these children these devices or phones or whatever. And now they're opening up brand new worlds for themselves. What you got, Pastor Kale? Let's stick there for a minute. She was able to just take time to even open up this whole dating app. Because we got a few more minutes. We got some time to talk today.
you know, when you give people, you know, like you said, free time, you know, and they have nothing else to do, they're going to explore, you know, I guess the listener says that, you know, us older people, you know, we shun away, you know, from new things like the internet and stuff like that. So, you know, so some older folks have no idea. They heard about it. They hear about it when it's on the news or something happens, you know what I'm saying? But they have no idea what's really out there. And when you give your child access, carte blanche access, you know, to the world, they're going to explore it, you know? And that's why I said, you know, you need to monitor. You need to first be the first, you know, partaker in what's going on. You need to, in order for you to study with your child, a math or a science problem, you have to know the answer to the problem. So you have to know the answers to these problems before you see them arising. You know what I'm saying? And because we don't want, oh, I don't do computers. I don't do smartphones. Give me my flip phone. You know, because we don't access it ourselves, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. And we are none the wiser because we don't know anything about it.
I like that. Because I hear many of people say, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that, and your child is doing it.
And clearly,
they are doing it well enough that you are setting up a Facebook profile, but yet they're way out, like you said, exploring the world. Come on, Brother Al, what are we saying to these parents about, hey, you may be setting up one thing, but advanced and extended time in this World Wide Web gives them the ability to get involved and on a Facebook, I'm sorry, a dating app.
I agree with Pastor KL. It's like us, like you said, the older generation, we have to learn these things. Because I see it all the time, too, where parents be like, man, I don't know how to do that stuff. I let him set it up, or I let her do this. You know, you have to learn about it so you can know what it's about. You know, and these kids, they will find time. We did it when we was young. We didn't have all this nonsense, but we found time to do things we had no business doing. And so it don't change. It's just that now is more internet stuff. They got a broader range to do things. So the parents need to learn this stuff. Let me see how to do this. Let me understand this. Show me how to do this. I do with my kids all the time. How you do this on Facebook? How you do this? So I can have a mental note on how to do it, because these kids can do things. They hide them. And you need to know how it works. How can I delete pay? How can I monitor this kid? How can I put parental things on this? So we have to get knowledgeable in order to do it, because these kids, they're going to find time. They're going to do it in school while they're supposed to be doing schoolwork. They sneak in with their phone. And then there's pressure on the kids, because one kid might say, well, I don't know this. And then the other kids are like, oh, you don't know how to get it? Oh, you haven't heard about this app? Oh, you lame. Now they eager, like, okay, I need to find this stuff out because my friend's doing it and I'm the only one who don't know how to do it. So now they push me even harder to learn how to do it.
Yep,
you know, so that's it, right? That's the thing with us, is that we have to know. They got so many different things. I found out some other stuff yesterday, and I'm like, well, what site is that? You know, so they have so much stuff, little stuff that's not even big name yet, that these kids, they find them and they get on it. So we have to get ourselves knowledgeable so we can be able to, you know, do what we need to do.
Absolutely, yes. They're going to do these things to keep up. As soon as one person learns one thing, now they're introducing it. I also was asked, Mama, do you have WhatsApp? I'm like, no. Why? Why are you asking me this? What do you know about WhatsApp? Well, that's because her little friend has access to a phone, and her older sibling talks to her about WhatsApp. Because they also want to visually, it gives you an ability to visually communicate. And I'm like, you don't need that. If I don't have it, you definitely don't need it. So, yeah, they do these things to try, Brother Al, like, you're right, to try to keep up. And all that introduction, the introduction to be made. And now you've got all the other kids, like you said, oohing and on and trying to keep up. Oh, I want that too. Oh, how you work that? Or they put it on my phone. Yeah. So these children also have older siblings that are they're patterning themselves behind. Minister AJ.
Yes, ma'am. I forgot what the question was.
You know, do you think you're setting them up on one thing, but they actually have this access to the World Wide Web, and it's not going to be limited to the app that you set them up to, you know, to work on?
Well, when you set them up like that, you're leaving them open, because not only will they explore, you got people out here that are exploring, got hackers. You know, you got people who are watching and waiting for the opportunity to prey on somebody. And these kids at 11, you definitely not savvy or mature enough to see, you know what I'm saying, everything that is coming, because you got some adults who get fooled by hackers. And you got some adults who have fell victim to people preying on them. So I think when you set stuff up like that, you are opening them up to a world of a vulnerability to, you know what I mean, of destruction, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? Because like you said, now she on a dating website. Dating website. So therefore, you can see how it gradually grows. And to me, that's where she's going to be spending most of her time. Because at 11, why would you want to be with an adult? You should be running away from an adult man. You know what I mean? But kids go with what they are familiar with. So there it is.
11. All right.
Most girls think boys are yucky. You know what I mean?
And not anymore, Miss AJ. That's the generations gone by. Lord have mercy. They don't think they're yucky anymore. If only we could get some of that. All right, we got a comment from a listener. Let's see what they got to say. Shantice, comment from the listener.
Yes, well, it's my comment.
Okay, so you're a listener.
You and Brother Al pretty much spoke about it real briefly just now. But I was going to say, you know, back when I was around that age, the chat line was the thing to be on. And I found out about it because we were in school, in class, and one of the girls in my class said, oh, you've been on the chat line? And I was like, no. And she's like, you ain't been on the chat line? And started telling me about it, gave me the number and everything. So from that day on, I was hooked to the chat line. And so I would be on there with people who were 18 and older. And like Minister AJ said, once you get familiar with that, you then don't want to really go back to what you, like, once I got hooked on speaking to people of that age, talking to people 11, 13 years old become less and less and less attractive. And what you want to make sure, what these parents want to make sure too, is make sure that your children, especially when they're that young, that they don't have friends who are older. And whether the friend is a sibling, whether the friend is an older cousin, or whether the friend is a neighbor or whoever, you really want to make sure, because I was able to meet someone off the chat line with the help of an older friend. So you want to make sure, and I'm really sitting here and I'm trying to envision an 11-year-old not only on a dating app alone, but now bold enough to meet physically in person, real life, flesh, meet someone who is 25 by herself. I'm really not seeing that. Like, but you're really bold enough. Okay, it's one thing to talk on the, you know, on the phone or online, and one thing to set it up, but to actually go and then to have him come to her house, I really don't see her being able to do that without some type of encouragement or aid from an older quote-unquote friend. So for all these parents who think it's cool to, like it was said, to throw these devices at the kids so that they can get out of your hair and your face because you need to chill out and relax and whatever, you don't think it's that serious. Okay, I almost passed out in Walmart when I found out my niece had a Facebook page. I was ready to slap everybody who knew about it. I didn't know how long she had it because immediately all these things just started coming back to my mind. You really cannot be careless, because while you chilling, these sex traffickers are intentionally on Instagram and TikTok and all of these sites trying to figure out who sounds like they having problems at home with their parents, who don't want to be home. They are literally waking up in the morning with the intention of preying on these babies.
All right.
They were watching something where they said that child trafficking starts at, I think, 7 years old, so 7 to 12 or something like that. So you really need to be on point with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your comment, listener. Thank you. All right. We're talking about being left alone at home at 11. Now, again, I really wish I knew the ages of these other children. Was she the oldest child? And now she's kind of parked them somewhere so she can hit the backyard. Was she the youngest child? Where the other siblings, you know, 12 and 13, was off doing what they were doing, so she had a chance to slip away to the backyard. Was she the middle child, who a lot of people say really get no, you know, look? They don't get the attention that the oldest and the youngest, and she was able to slide off. You know, we know that parents have to do the latchkey thing because they have to work. But let's talk about maybe some of the things that can happen now that you have to leave them home alone. Pastor KL, what you got?
Well, we just figured out what could happen now that you leave them home alone.
Absolutely.
Again, you know, I heard Shanti talking about the chat line. I mean, that's just as dangerous as Facebook, you know, because now you don't have to interpret how they saying stuff. You know, you can hear it. And now that can make you, you know, you have the goosebumps in your stomach, or you could feel good because no one really told me that they love me. You know, when you have too much time by yourself, you know, anybody, you know, somebody who's trying to take advantage of you, you know, like Shanti said, they go fish around to see if you have a happy home. You know, they go fish around and, oh, your daddy ain't taking care of you, or you don't know who your daddy is, or your mama keeps yelling she ain't never home. They're going to get information. It's just like an adult man wanting to be with an adult woman who's gone through some stuff. If I know you've gone through, I know what to say. That's going to make you feel good. Oh, no man has ever talked to me like this before. Oh, my mama and daddy never gave me this kind of attention. When you leave me home, you allow me to explore a better life. I can pretend. You know what I mean? We grow up with imaginary friends. We grow up pretending that things are better than what they are. So now you're part of my imaginary world. You are my knight in shining armor, because you're saying everything that I want, that I've been looking for. You know, if I'm the middle child, yeah, I'm not getting no attention. You know, it's either the oldest child, you know, gets what he wants to do because he's oldest, or the youngest child go jail to get away with stuff because they're the youngest. But me, I'm just in the middle. I don't count. You know, so finally someone says that I count. Someone says that I'm important. Someone says he is kind. He is important. You know, so someone is saying all this stuff to me. So, and because you left me alone, I can run with it.
Any suggestions to the parents who, you know, these children are on this internet because they have to do remote learning. So what would you suggest as an alternative? What do you do when you have to leave your child home alone because you have to go to work to help to protect them? Let me put it like that.
Well, now these days, again, you have cameras. You know, not only that, you know, if you're computer savvy, you can go back on the site and see everywhere that they've gone. You know what I mean? There's things called cookies. Cookies will allow you to know everything, every site that they went on. So once somebody knows that you are watching them and you are following them, you know, they're more apt not to do that. But once they think, well, my mama is just old, you know, my daddy old, they don't know nothing about this computer, they're going everywhere. But when you can go back in there and say, hey, you was on this porn site, what's going on with this? You know, you was on this, what's going on with that? But when you can pinpoint that, hey, you was on here for 20 minutes. You was this had nothing to do with your schoolwork. You was on here for an hour. Once they see, once the watcher is on the wall, they stop all that stuff.
Okay. Thanks. Brother Al, you know, sometimes you got to have, you know, the latch key thing going on because you need to go to work and, you know, your child is 11 and 12 years old and they're not at a sitter necessarily. You know, what would be some of the advice that you would give to help curtail some of this activity?
Well, one of the things, and I'm going to be a little rough, parents need to be parents. Stop trying to be your child's friend and show that, hey, I'm down with the times, and be a parent and be strict on your children, you know, and talk to them. Explain to them about the dangers of getting on these sites and putting yourself out there, stuff that, you know, the danger and things that can happen to you while you're out there on these sites.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry,
and I agree with
Pastor Cale, what he said is the parents. Like he said, you have to learn these stuff. Like he said, you could go in there and look on the web browser. You know, so you can go look on the web browser and see what site your child has been on. You can even go to call somebody, call a computer store, a computer person. You can get some things put on your computer where on that laptop or whatever they're using, and when they get on this stuff, it'll alert you saying, hey, listen, your child is on a site that's not supposed to be on. So it's a lot of stuff that you can do to monitor. You just got to do it and stop saying, oh, well, you know, that's today's days, computers today's days, so, you know, they can do it. No, you have to do these things. They're like Shanti and everybody was saying, them predators are out there. They live for this. They wake up early in the morning, okay, let me see what I can do now. And then, like we said, with the parents gotten to go to work and the kids are home, it's free fall now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm sure there's a whole lot of kids on the dating app, Brother Al.
Because they're
on this computer, and that definitely gives them access. All righty. Thank you very much. Minister AJ. What you got? You know, what you got to leave your kids at home. You know, you can't always be there. You know, how do you protect them or help to prevent some of this stuff from happening?
Pastor Kale took my answer. I was going to say, listen, go through them searches. Definitely go through those searches, see where they've been. And they have a lot of different apps and things, I'm pretty sure, where you can lock your kids out of certain websites. And stuff like that. So, listen, if you got it's your kid, it's worth it. Hire somebody who's computer savvy. Don't just ask the kids. You know what I'm saying? You know, hire somebody. It's worth it to spend a couple extra dollars and be able to set up your computer a certain way, you know, and to monitor what your kids are doing. I think it's absolutely worth it. So hire somebody. Hire a hacker if you have to, you know. You know, to put some. When I got hacked, I was ready to hire a hacker. So, you know, you do what you got to do, you know. But at any cost, you got to protect the children, you know. If you need to set up a little nanny or something, then you do that. But they shouldn't be there by themselves like that, period.
Okay. Here's the last question that I want to ask, because I'm having a problem with this also, and maybe it's just me. I'm just not forgiving for giving a purchase of a phone for an 11-year-old. We made it. Why? Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you disagree. Pastor KL, is part of the problem with giving these devices to these children too early?
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen, my grandchild is four and she got a phone. Don't know why. Don't know who she's calling. Don't know why she's calling. But she's four. You know what I mean? Who are you calling? What you calling for? You ordering in a Lunchable? I'm trying to figure out what is the problem. At 11 years old, I don't know why you have a phone. We didn't have a phone. And guess what?
Nope.
We had beepers. And when the beeper went off, we had to find change to go find a pay phone. So we had to work to make a phone call. You know, and then to find out when they beat, I just want to know where you were. Really? You know, I don't know what y'all talking about. You've been at school all day with these folks. Y'all done had recess together. You had, I had lunch together. And now you got to come home and talk some more. What you want to talk about? At 11 years old, what kind of lifestyle do you have that is that serious for you to call somebody at 11 years old? And then, you know, the parents use the excuses, well, I just want to know where they are. They should be home.
Right, right, right. Then, how many places do they have to go to?
Where they going at 11? They
right.
should be home.
Right.
If they're in the, listen, my mama told me, if I'm not home, don't let nobody in. Don't open the door. Don't answer the phone.
Yep.
So, if I'm not answering the phone, what I need a phone for? I'm trying to understand.
Me too. I don't get it. I don't get it. I hear that all the time. Well, at least I know where they are. I'm sorry. My parents had a radar. Somehow or another, they always knew where I was. What happens to the dialogue that says, you know what, I need to know where you are at all times? Now, even again, they may sidestep. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to walk in perfection. But so what? I'm not giving you no phone. So now it goes from I know where you are to you being everywhere, because that's exactly what's happening now. Come on, Brother Al. My question is, why are we giving these children these devices so early?
Oh, man, your guess is good as mine. I think that's one of the biggest problems. And, you know, a lot of the parents come with the excuse, you know. Some of them are, hey, well, you know, I work late and I want to make sure they get home. And what I'm going to tell you the sad thing about it. When you look at the whole thing, most people don't have a phone at home anymore. Nobody
nope.
got phones
no
in the house
lines.
Anymore.
You're
and
right.
You, no landlines.
Very few landlines.
Just
that's
have,
right.
right. People just have cell phones, and they give them, like Pastor Carol said, it, you know, people spend 4 years old with a cell phone. Why? I've seen that too. 5, 6 year old, and they got an iPhone, the new one. You don't, why?
Oh, God.
Why are you giving them this? And I'm sitting there looking, and they get, oh, well, you know, this is new technology, and I need to let them learn early. Yeah, but you push them too fast, and they picking up the
mm-hmm.
wrong things. So I don't get it, why they give them phones that early.
All righty. Minister AJ, the question on the table is, do they need a phone at 11?
Absolutely not. You know, at 11, you know, either y'all should be traveling home and packed, and you should have a certain time to be home, which should be right after school. Come straight home. Anything else you need to do. You know, your parents, I'll probably pick you up if you go to after school sports or something like that. So I don't see what you need a phone call. And to me, it gives you more opportunity to talk with your friends to find out the things you shouldn't be doing. Like Santi said, you know, she learned about the chat line in school. So now I'm going to give you a phone so y'all can further talk so you can find out about all of the stuff you shouldn't be on. Now.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen. Thank you so much. This has been some kind of conversation, and I knew that it would once I opened up the article. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving us your words of wisdom and advice, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
You're welcome. You do the same.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All righty. Oh, my. Let me read our benediction for today, 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That's the way we're closing it down spiritually today. We've had some conversation. You know, it's a scary world out there. And I think we don't do enough at times. You know, some of us parents, not all of us, some of us as parents, we don't do enough to protect our children. You know, where, how many parents have you heard, they want their children with the latest so that they can have what everybody else has? Yes, you have those parents who say that. And again, you know, we have to caution ourselves how we love our children. You know, and so many parents are in this arena of, well, you know what, I want them to have the things that I didn't. And, you know, I have to honestly say, you know, a lot of times we didn't have, not because the parents necessarily didn't have it. That was a very conscious thought that the parent made to make sure we did not have it. Whether it was you can't get everything you want, whether it was I just said no, you know, which never makes sense, you know, because I said so. But, you know, one of the things I remember my mother always saying is, if I didn't buy it for you, you don't need it. And did I always agree with her? Absolutely not. You know, I wanted something and I thought I should have it. And she's saying, well, I'm not going to get it. It doesn't necessarily mean I don't have the money, you know, so I'm not going to get it for you. But no, if I don't buy it for you, you don't need it. And I'm going to tell you something. Coming up under that helped me as a young person and an early adult to understand I don't need to borrow. I rarely borrow anything because, again, in my head, I say to myself, well, do I really need it if I got to borrow it? Well, the answer most times is no. I'm not borrowing you anything. You know, there are people who borrow clothes and jewelry and, you know, let me wear your shoes. No! No, 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 no. We're not doing that. And, you know, when you, like I said, when you think of some of the things that, you know, we were given as children, you know, the no's, the times when we heard no, you know, there was something that came along with that. So I learned not to borrow. Well, what's one of the biggest things that happens with children or young people or adults? If they can't get it because they're always used to having it, now they're going to steal it. Now they're going to take it, you know, because they had to have it. You know, does every child come out like this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We would never say that. But what we need to do is we always need to work on err on the side of protecting our children. What am I protecting you from? If I plant this seed in your head, you know, inside of you, how is that going to help you move forward? And that's what we have to think about. To tell our children, no, you can't have this device, is not going to be the end of their world. And I'm going to tell you something. As a parent, if I said no, oh, you're going to have to go out here and get somebody else's phone or whatever because I'm not giving it to you. And again, you know, that conversation, I think it was Brother Al who said the conversation that, you know, alert them to the dangers. Sometimes we don't do that because we're too busy saying yes. You can't say yes to everything and then alert children about the dangers to everything. You're going to have to say no to some things because I'm not going to put you out there like that. And I think that's why that's what I'm having the biggest problem with in this story. The first thing, the first thing I got was, what was he doing? As the story went on, what was he doing? What was he thinking? And sometimes, you know, of course, you know, we want to, you know, we do things. And I'm not saying we're perfect because we all have made mistakes. And we all, as long as we are parents, we will make mistakes. That ain't nothing that's going to happen. That's not going to happen. We get that. We're all going to, you know, make mistakes. And we're all going to think what we did, you know, was for the benefit. I told you, didn't you just hear what I said earlier? I said, here I was as a savvy mother, but yet she's cutting corners. She just told you herself. She's cutting corners. She's figuring out how to do this. Well, one of the things she brought up was the older friend. And what I thought was, you know, it was a neighbor. You know, a neighbor she was with. You know, as a matter of fact, it was a tenant. You know, she had a daughter, and she was a couple of years older. And I thought, you know, well, she seems like a decent child. Well, nah, that ain't work out. No, because now I'm allowing her to spend time with you because I think you're decent. And now look what I got. I've got the initiating going on at the school, which I cannot, you know, say that I can, you know, defend that or protect that. But then I got this going on right underneath me when I'm thinking that you're helping. I think you're living a decent life, a responsible life. You're, you know, a little more mature and, you know, you're going to help and you're not going to. And you were the one that was hurting. So we know that children are going to get around these things right underneath your nose. But how hard are you working toward that not happening? That's my question. Are you just, no, I'm not setting up nobody's Facebook page. Like I said in the beginning, Facebook wouldn't even allow you to have a page if you were under 18 years old. Forget about parental controls. I tell you, I was so surprised when I went in and I was trying to do something with my own. And I'm like, parental controls? What you need a parental control for if you're 18? Little did I know. So, you know, we don't know, you know. But listen, I'm going to get Dwayne. That's going to be our techie talk for next week. And I'm going to have to carve out a little more time than we normally do so he can help us learn. Either if we don't have the children ourselves, we're going to be able to deal with grandchildren, nieces and nephews, neighbors, give this information out. Setting up parental controls, and we're going to find out how deep those parental controls go. How can, you know, we know we can browse the history, but you can erase the history sometimes. But from what I understand, there's something that goes on truly in the back that you may not be able to get rid of. So we're going to find out exactly how much control we do have when we think we have control. Do we actually have that level of control that we can keep and do our part? That's all I'm saying. We have to do our part. And we're going to have to make sure that, you know, yes, we're going to stay on top of it. Yes, we have to go to work. And yes, we have to do all of this and we have to do all of that. And we're not dragging these kids around like rag dolls, like babies. You know, but, hey, you're going to have to really, really, really think differently now. We're in an age of technology where it'll knock your socks off. And this is the stuff we know about. Think about that. This is the stuff we know about. And, you know, people, as has been said, this is their motive. This is their goal in life, is to get after our children. And if you think about a woman's mind being manipulated, think about how easy it is to manipulate an 11-year-old, especially if she's having problems at home, if she's not being, you know, paid enough attention to. And I'm going to put it like that because everybody's attention need is different. Everybody's gauge ain't the same. Some people you can give a little more attention to. Some people don't need all that attention. But it's Russian roulette. You don't know. Unless you have your children to gauge them by. Like I said, I have three different people. I'm raising three very different people in this household. And you have to adjust accordingly. So you know what? Let this be a lesson to us today, you know, to walk a little more carefully as a parent. You know, be on top of things a little bit more. You know, I'm sending you into the weekend, checking them devices, making sure they can do what we don't want them to do. Make sure we're paying attention. Are you paying attention? Yes. Pay a little more attention so we can help combat all of this madness that's going on. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my men of warfare for holding us down today and sending us off into a fantastic weekend with a whole lot to do and a whole lot to think about. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week or just today. We appreciate it and we couldn't do it without you. I like to say, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. later is not promised to us. So until Monday, God's willing, have a great time over the weekend. I love you.